This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
All right, guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. And if you're betting college football bowl games, and that can be a dicey endeavor, we're the podcast for you. We're releasing breakdowns for every matchup with new episodes dropping almost every day. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Being told by Wiggins where to line up. Schroeder will screen. Ball to Draymond. Back to Curry. Curry takes a deep three. It's good! In the right corner. Falling out of bounds. 1 point game, but there's only 12.2 on the clock. Wiggins, as Draymond will screen now for Curry. To Curry. Curry gets an open three. Look, it's on the way. Tie game! Tie game! There might be one more gift left under the tree. 17 points in the fourth, a great screen by Draymond, and Curry nails it. And it's James who pops out, wants the ball, that gets to Reeves. Reeves with five, with four, guarded by Wiggins. Reeves takes a drive left side, drives and gets a layup with 1 second to go in the game. Curry in the backcourt, gets it off, but I don't think it was in time. And somehow, the Warriors give up a layup with 1 second to go to lose. 115-113 the final.
Everybody's disappointed. We've lost some confidence. You can feel it. You know, we had great vibe early in the season, and we're going through it right now. But I love our guys, high character guys. They care. They care about the game. They care about each other. I believe in them. I believe we're going to get this thing turned around. You know, this is all part of it. It's part of the season, part of life. You hit these ebbs, and, you know, you feel like everything's tough, everything's difficult, and you got to feel the flow. You got to feel the confidence, and we'll keep plugging away and we'll get there.
Dub Nation, it's the voice of the Warriors, Tim Roy. Catch the head coach of the Warriors, Steve Kerr, with Willard and Dibbs every week right here on 95.7 The Game.
That was Coach Kerr last night in his postgame conference talking about how this team obviously has hit sort of a low point. And low, I know, as a guy who's been there before, and you know, he mentioned this. Listen, the Warriors typically are able to avoid this because they've been so good throughout the years. But there's always, when you talk about basketball, baseball certainly, they use words like attrition. And that you're going to go through the ebb and flow and the peaks and valleys. And this is clearly one of those that you just have to get through. But yeah, as a guy who's been there, and when you're losing like this, and it just stinks, and the morale's terrible, how do you get out of it? What is it that you do? They had a players-only meeting before the game. Again, does that help? Has that ever helped in the history of sports? What is your professional sort of input, not only on a players-only meeting, but when you hit this low rung of the ladder as far as a team and experiencing the rash of losses like that of the Golden State Warriors?
Yeah, I think, does it help to have a players-only meeting? It can help, but it depends on what your team is. I've been on teams where, you know, we go 14-2 and we're on the charge and we have a players only meeting, but you knew that you were a good team. You knew what you were dealing with. And I've been on teams where, you know, didn't have that type of team and you knew that it wasn't necessarily going to be pretty. And that is just that time where you meet and it's like, hey guys, we got to fight. We got to hold on. Look, let's just show everyone that we can play together as a team, and no matter what happens, guys, let's just compete. Let's compete at a high level. That's that talk when you know that you're not going to win. It's about just competing. that's, I think, where the Warriors are at. They're having conversations about, guys, your name is on this. Let's go out and compete. You're kind of like where the Niners are. I mean, of course, it's a longer season. And you can say, oh, anything's going to turn around. It's hard when if you're 15-15 and you're looking at during your, you know, quarter of the season over and you're like, okay, how are we going to, 10 more games, you're at the halfway point, 12 more games. How do you really think you're going to turn around when you're at 500? It's hard because you've seen who you are right now. The Warriors are going to have to make some tough decisions, but you have those meetings and you just want guys to say, look, don't quit. Don't quit on each other.
Yeah, I don't know if the Warriors are ready to quit, but it's just, and Draymond and Steph and the veterans have been there. Well, they haven't experienced losing like this, but I guess the concern is more on sort of the younger players.
Don't fight. Don't accept it. You can have these meetings, and it's not don't quit. It's like, look, don't accept this. I've been on teams where I went to a Pro Bowl. I was in Cincinnati. We won friggin' 4 games. I went to a Pro Bowl because I made sure that my play was going to be at another level, and it's hard to do that. See, a lot of guys, you're like, look at Steph. Steph's going to be all-star. I mean, you watch some of these guys. He's teaching these guys. So if it's not going to get into a playoff, it's like, guys, I'm going to follow. You guys follow my lead. I'm going to get us there. And it's get us there to say, how do you win? And they get the goal. Even though this year may not be successful, and it may be successful, but what do you take from it? These guys know they're playing with a first ballot, one of the greatest three-point shooters. Well, today, the greatest three-point shooter the game has ever seen. You're playing with him. So if you're a young guy, what are you taking from Steph Curry? That's the thing. The team meetings, those things like, hey, guys, man, look, we're playing. We owe to this guy. And just don't quit on yourself. Understand defense. Get better. That's what it's about. When you're on a team and you look like, it looks like it seems like, hey, look, I don't know what we're going to do. I don't know how good we're going to be. That's when you got to say, let me meet you in the weight room. You know what? I'm going to get out some extra shots. Hey, we're going to practice and we're going to do more walkthroughs. It's not about practicing harder. It's about practicing smarter. It's about doing the small things. And that's what it is. It's about buying in even when you're facing adversity.
If you have a players only meeting, maybe, I guess, I don't know. I've never played, but I'm assuming that it might work if you do it maybe once. If you're doing those things multiple times a year or even multiple times within a 5-year span, like it's, you lose your sort of like, I remember Robert De Niro would never go on late night shows, right? It's because he's Robert De Niro for crying out loud. It's like, maybe he'll go once, but that created the allure and the impact of, you know, oh my God, De Niro's here. I'm going to listen. If you're having more than one of those players only, it's sort of like falling on deaf ears, is it not?
It really is. And that's why, you know, Steph and Draymond, you know, they call the meeting and just trying to tell these guys, hey, look, guess what? They've been on teams where when Steph first came to the NBA and came to the Warriors, they lost. So Steph's got to be able, this is where Steph's like, look, guys, I've been here before. This is tough. I'm not used to this. We've been on winning. We won 4 or 5 championships. But guess what? Those windows are closed. Those windows aren't always staying open. So what are you going to do in this difficult time? Steph's been on a team where he lost early in his career. I'm a Dre. So how do you teach? This is those teaching moments that a head coach can't teach you that. This is where Steph and Draymond have to step up in their character and continue to just work on these guys. So, yeah, it's hard. When you're having all these special, these team meetings, it doesn't help.
Talking about the Golden State Warriors, losers of 11 of their last 14, a reminder that Coach Steve Kerr is going to join us coming up at the top of the hour at 5 o'clock, and we'll get into all things Warriors with him. Golden State now just trying to figure things out as far as the rotation is concerned. 7-7, by the way, at home, so Chase is no longer an advantage. This all after the 12-3 start. So, you know, it's not all on D'Anthony Melton. I know a lot of people like to say, oh, D'Anthony Melton is certainly, you know, hurt this team, and he has, because they finally solidified a rotation, and he quote-unquote unlocked, you know, Mr. Curry. But I it's hard for me to believe that if D'Anthony Melton was healthy and playing on this team, that the team still is struggling. He was a vital member, but he wasn't that important. So the issues with the Warriors go far deeper than any D'Anthony Melton injury. And at the end of the day, as much as we try and pull back the layers and stick this under a microscope and figure out who the culprit is, because that's what we like to do on Sports Talk Radio, point a finger, it's his fault, no, it's his fault, this is what's wrong. No, I know what's wrong. The caller in line 3, he's got the answer. Is it just at the end of the day that you just don't have the horses? In other words, that you don't have the personnel. And no matter what it is that you do, that you're always going to fall short because this is a team that just simply can't match up with the better teams in the NBA, namely in the Western Conference.
No question. And you get it, brother. You know that, Dan. I mean, hell, Emmitt Smith, everyone says should have never left the Dallas Cowboys. But, you know, he left because guess what? The window was closed. Dallas said, hey, look, we can't afford to pay him. We're not going to pay him. One of the greatest running backs ever. LaDainian Tomlinson, you know, left Detroit. You got to realize, even though you have Steph and all these different guys on this team, the window, sometimes it closes. It's not pretty. It's not a pretty thing, but you got to be able to accept it. So when guys say, oh, well, they could do this and they got to do it for Steph, you don't have enough horses. I don't care how many team meetings. I don't care what you do. I don't care how much you practice. When you just don't got it, you just ain't got it. And that's where they're at. It's no harm, no foul in that. But it's like, how do you get better in difficult times? How do you get better and how do you grow? I know it's painful. No, say, hey, Steph doesn't need this. Steph's got plenty of, Steph's got hundreds of millions of dollars. Steph is going to enjoy this ride. You know, if Steph wanted to go win a championship, Steph could go to a team that's a contender, and he could win and be huge for a team because he would have help around him. Teams would be lined up if you were going to move Steph. But the Warriors know if you move Steph, the seats that he sells, he put butts in a seat. They're getting to watch an icon. He's he's the greatest three-point shooter. So it's just a growing pain that these Warrior fans we're going to have to go through because, like you said, you just don't have the horses.
888-957-9570 is the phone number. Let's get out to Rodney. He's hanging out in Oakland, wants to get in on the Warriors talk. Rodney, how are you tonight?
Hey, thanks for having me on, fellas. Hey, it's just the Warrior thing is very simple. Draymond and Steph, you want to start or you want to win a championship? Because when you first got in the league, y'all was starting, but the OGs were sitting on the bench making the second team happen. It's your turn to be the OGs and sit on the bench and make it happen. You're not going to get a ring and start. That's it.
Rodney, that's good knowledge because that is, you're spot on when they first came into the league. But are you telling me you don't want, who's Steph going to give way to?
I would put Moses Moody out there. That's the future. Put your future players out there who should be getting experience and getting confidence and everything. And then just have Steph come in and just light them up with 30 in the second quarter and just kill the other team. That's the way y'all did it before.
What about Moses Moody's game tells you he's the future?
Just if you look back at the championship run they had last when he was part of it at the Boston game, he was not fazed by Boston. He was dropping threes, and Kerr took him out.
Roddy,
he has it in him. Yes.
Appreciate it, man. Thank you so much. I don't know that I necessarily agree. I think Rodney might be sipping from the holiday punch a little bit too much this year. No.
No, it's a situation where, yeah, I understand what he's saying. Sit the stars. Like, you guys remember that transition. The older guys are sitting on the bench. But that's not here. You don't have enough. Your cupboards are bare. You do not have enough young guys, superstars, upcoming superstars, to sit Steph and Draymond. It's just not there.
San Jose, California. Let's get out to Nick. Wants to talk about Steve Kerr and the Warriors. Hey, Nick.
Hey, fellas. How you doing? First of all, Lowe, you're the best fullback I've ever seen. You need to be in Canton, dude.
My man.
That's number one.
My man.
Number one. Number two, I got to let you guys know, I was so disgusted with Kerr's comments last night. We are, 30 games into the season, he says he admits he has no rotation, and Kerr was a bench role player. You need to give guys consistency. So I blame this on Kerr. Last few minutes of a game, still doing the freelance stuff. This is 14 games. We're 3-11. Lakeup needs to start shaking some things up. I would get rid of everyone except Wiggins, Curry, and Draymond. You need to get someone like the Mavericks did, two big guys, and get a dog like Butler. And Kuminga, how could he not play help defense last night? That guy needs to go because he's not worth $35 million a year. Get something for him. Low Hall of Fame. Buddy, Happy New Year.
Oh, God, he came in hot. Need to call back anytime, brother. He was dropping
the
heat.
I love the way he tagged out. Happy New Year, you SOPs. By the way, let's just get back to what it is that he was alluding to and Steve Kerr and the sound from last night when he was talking about rotations and not finding one to this point.
In fairness to our guys, we've been all over the map this year, rotation-wise. I've had a million different starting lineups. Guys are in and out of certain roles, rotations. I'm well aware of that, and that's hard as a player to not know, you know, how many minutes you're going to get, what minutes you're going to get. The reality is we're searching. We've lost 11 of 14 games, and, you know, I don't feel like this is a roster where you just say, all right, here are our top eight guys or top nine guys. We just play those guys. That's our roster is really deep, and we've got a lot of guys who can play, and every game calls for something different. That's the issue. You know, we've got it. There's certain games we need more shooting. There's certain games we need more defense, and so we've got a lot of guys who can play, but it's been difficult, you know, to develop consistent rotations and lineup combos, and I think it has not been easy for the guys, but you know, we'll keep plugging away.
By the way, Coach Kerr will join us now at 5:30. So he's going to join us in an hour. We'll hear from the head coach, and we can talk to him about the rotation. But certainly, this is an area of concern that, and as, listen, I think that you can go after him for not finding a rotation up to this point, but I think what Kerr is telling you, he's being pretty forthright here, and he's just laying it on the line. Like, I just don't have the horses. If there was a rotation that made sense, you don't think he wants to play those guys to start a game and then end a game? He's essentially echoing what it is I think you and I have talked about, that he's admitting that he doesn't have the guys.
How long has Steve Kerr been the coach? And we know how long he's been the coach, Warriors, how many championships he won. Did he have, you remember when they had, we knew who the starting five was. You knew it's going to be Clay, it's going to be Dre, it's going to be, you know, Steph, of course. You had KD. You said, hey, these are my starters. It was unmutable. You don't think if Steve Kerr knew that he had a starting five that he could roll out there night in and night out, he would do it? Of course. Now, I do understand the callers, they're angry and disappointed because they're saying, you've already played 30 games. You don't have someone that you can get some continuity and roll them out there. And if this answer is no, because he's the head coach, he's saying that this player can only do this. He's limited, so I can't keep him out there, so I can't name him a starter. If a guy's filling it, I'm leaving him in longer because he's filling it that night. If he's playing good, then I got to do that. So it's hard. So I see that Kerr's in a tough situation. That's why he hasn't said, here's my starters. But I think he's at that point and at that time where right now you know that it's not working. You got to make that decision and say, okay, I'm going to roll these guys out here and let the chips fall where they may. But another part is you can't wear out Steph Curry, Draymond, and have these guys in their 30s think that they can carry the load.
I would agree with you.
Whoa, I thought you just wanted to take it out. Man down. Man down. I wish you guys saw that. Everyone that's watching on YouTube and Twitch, I mean, this mic comes out like it almost takes this guy out. I mean, Dan kind of weaved. You look kind of like Joe Frazier and Ali watching this fight on ESPN.
Yeah,
the way you ducked and
Madison
got out of the way.
Now I'm doing.
You all right?
Now I'm doing lounge act in Vegas. Man.
You got 9 minutes till the break, so you're gonna.
I'm going to the moon.
Handheld. I have a question for Lo. Can I ask him?
Yeah, go right ahead.
Hey, Lo, it's Lucas, your producer.
Lucas Alexander,
what's up, Lo?
Thanks for having me. Pleasure to be on
best,
with you.
Baby.
Pride of USC, Lucas Alexander.
The way what Kerr's talking about with his rotations and roles and all of that, the way that he's changed it on a night-to-night basis, imagine if you came to the facility on a Sunday morning, whenever you got there, 8, 9 a.m. before the game.
Yeah.
You didn't know if you were playing fullback that day, if you were playing running back, if you were playing receiver, if you were playing tackle. And you also didn't know if you were starting, and you didn't know how many snaps you were going to play. Like, what is that? How difficult is that to an athlete? It seems nearly impossible to get used to.
It's possible to get used to, but not probable. Because one day you're excited, and that's why you see it wore off. First, you're like, oh, man, I'm playing a 3 today. Oh, I'm playing a 2. Okay, I'm playing point. I'm playing this. And then after a while, you're like, hell, just put me in my position. This is where I need to be. And so, but Kerr's looking at it saying, just because you believe that you need to be at that position, I see something else. So either Kerr's got to understand that, hey, that mystique has worn off, bro. And it's shown that it hasn't worked. So if I came in and one day, running back, if he tells me, hey, look, you're going to dot the I. If I'm in my second or third year in the league, I'm like, let me dot it. Give me 20 totes. I can get it done. But you're in year 10, year 12, 13, 14. You know that certain things you can't do. And now you put a guy, you got a center that's light, undersized. You said, I'm going to put him down there and let him get beat up and banged. It's just sometimes you know that it does not work. So it would, as a player, it would be very, very tough to answer your question. It'd be very tough and very uncomfortable. And you would be disappointed and you would be confused and at times frustrated.
Let's get back out to the phone lines. I'm sorry. Are you done, Lucas Alexander?
Well, I want to continue with just where Kerr's going with this, right? We're 29 games into an 82-game schedule. That's over a third of the way through. He loves to say, as do most coaches and people who cover the NBA, that 20 games into a season, you kind of know who you are. And he's told us that he knows who he is. He thinks they're a good basketball team. They've lost a lot of games recently. He still can't figure out who's starting games, what the rotations are, who does what in what role. What does that say about Kerr and how he feels about this team, that he's still making all these changes as we're nearing halfway through a season already?
Well, I think part of it is the injury to D'Anthony Melton. Part of it is the inconsistency of Jonathan Kuminga, who is, I don't think, has taken that step to give the confidence that he's clearly, not only should he be in the rotation, but he is the star that they've anticipated for so long. While I understand it, it's frustrating, but to Steve Kerr's point, aside from Andrew Wiggins, Steph, and Draymond Green, who is it that I feel comfortable putting out on the floor, again, that I know are going to give me reliable minutes? I think Kerr is a product of his personnel. And it's not as though there's somebody, because here's another way to look at it, Luke. Who is it that he's not playing that you would say, my God, that's a huge oversight? And I think he's just making the most of what it is that he has to work with. And it's 12 or 13 deep that in the beginning of the season had this unmatched energy and a defensive presence that won games. And now that that's gone, you're trying to do it with smoke and mirrors. And it's obviously, at the end of the day, the NBA is about, you know, there's five guys that start, and it's always been a player's league. That you need talent. You need guys that can score and play defense. You need better players than the other team. That's more often than not how you win in this league. And trying to do it with 13 guys, you can disguise and hide things for a certain amount of time, but eventually I think people are going to catch up to you. Can we get out to Kevin in Oakland really quick?
Yeah, I'll give you one last thing, a little breaking news piece here. Gary Payton II, he played 7 minutes last night. You're talking about shortening a rotation. Here's in something that makes it a little easier for Steve Kerr. He's going to miss a week with a calf injury. And I think just real quick to what you were saying, who wasn't in the rotation last night that Warriors fans may want or I would want, there are plenty of Moses Moody stands out there, including the guy who just called who said he wants him to probably be playing 30-plus minutes. He got a DNP CD and a loss. And, I mean, Lindy Waters as well was starting games early in the season. He didn't get any minutes. Those are two. And Kyle Anderson. But when you're dealing with such a deep team already, a couple guys just aren't going to make the rotation. I don't know what Moses Moody would have done necessarily to help last night, but a lot of Warrior fans love him.
So it's got to be one or the other. People are making the argument that, okay, Lindy Waters is clearly out of the rotation. Anderson's out of the rotation. Moses Moody didn't play. But in order for you to simplify things, it's going to come at the cost of some players not playing. And the one guy that I would, if I had to go out to Kerr about something, was the fact that Trayce Jackson-Davis, who I think has been very good of late and was very good last night, didn't close. And the reason there was because AD was out of the game, so they wanted to go small. But I think Trayce Jackson-Davis, regardless of Anthony Davis' availability or the fact that he wasn't on the floor, should have been in that closing lineup as well. All right, now can we get to Kevin out in Oakland?
You may.
Kevin, man, you owe me, brother, because Lucas just wanted to dominate the show, but
Luke,
I said no.
Luke came in hard.
Sorry, Kev.
Got to get out to my man, Kev. So, Kev, you better deliver the goods, my man.
I'm delivering. Can you guys hear me?
Got you.
All right, check this out. We all know all dynasties come to an end, right? Especially in the NBA, whether San Antonio, Bulls, Lakers, they all come to an end. And the toughest part about a dynasty is we hold on to our franchise player, once-in-a-generation player, too late. And so in life, it's always hard to buy low and sell high, right? We never get the top. So this is what I propose. I propose we trade Steph Curry and rebuild. Because, and here's the point. If he wants to go back to Charlotte, for example, get LaMelo Ball, a couple good role players, and a Herschel Walker trove of draft picks and start rebuilding.
Can you get that much for him, though,
man? That's what I don't know. But what I do know is that if we follow the standard be garbage. Just like San Antonio was garbage for the last 8 years. Boston, after they lost Bird. And we're going to, and I understand, it's almost blasphemous to trade Steph Curry. But if we don't, we're going to follow the same script as these other dynasties. That's all I have to say.
I see. I understand what he's saying. But the biggest thing is, like, look, you can trade all these players, but if you miss in the draft and if you don't have the right players, you still set yourself back. So a bird in hand is better than two in the bush. So I understand what you're saying, but you're not going to get an overhaul for Steph. You're going to get something. A championship team will trade something for him because they know that he can go. Steph can step into a bunch of teams that are one player away or shoot away, and they're going to win a championship. Steph can do that.
It's not as crazy as a lot of people make it out to be, trading Steph. I get it, especially now when there's some value and you need to rebuild. But the reason why it'll never happen is because that dude prints money.
Prints money.
Whatever jersey he puts on, if it's Charlotte, they suddenly get the cash cow.
Exactly.
And you can't even quantify how much money that dude means.
People come everywhere to watch him play.
Golden State Warriors.
Yes.
And not only that, when you travel and you sell out arenas. And so Joe Lacob, listen, he cut his teeth as a business tycoon. So it's about profit margins. It's about making money at the end of the day. And there's no way in hell that Joe Lacob would ever move that guy. But I like the thinking because it does, from a basketball sense, it's somewhat plausible. All right, we got to get to a break. We'll take more of your calls. Mike in Oakland, hang out. We'll get back to the Warriors. We're presented by Fremont Bank, celebrating 60 years of full-service banking with no compromises. It's Lo Neal and it's Dan. I'll continue with my lounge act here, holding the mic. Bubbles in the wine make me happy.
Nice.
Make me feel so fun. Let's get the hell out of here.
Let's go.